The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see you all. Here we are, first part of December. It's like, wow, it's something, right? That, for me, I know a number of people, just with the pandemic and all these things, I still having a hard time, kind of like time just seems different. And so for me, I'm like, how did we find ourselves in December here already? But here we are. And I'm glad to be here, to be sharing this time with you all. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about equanimity. And to talk, as you know, equanimity is one of the Brahma Viharas, is the fourth Brahma Vihara. But equanimity, even the word, right, it doesn't have necessarily this warmth or their sense of love or something that other Brahma Viharas have. Doesn't have that same feeling. And it doesn't have, right? It's not a cozy feeling or something like this, but it is has some love in it, but the love is a little bit different. It's more like a love of the truth. It's a love of what's really happening. So seeing things with a certain amount of balance and seeing things with a certain amount of clarity. So equanimity, of course, it might, even though it might have this sound aloofness, or it might seem like it has a certain amount of apathy or disengagement. Instead, no, it's definitely in the mix, right? It's definitely engaged, but it's staying balanced, staying upright without a leaning too far in any direction. And in the context of the Brahma Viharas, we can think of equanimity as meaning perspective. So that is, it's a perspective that allows a balance of the other Brahma Viharas. And it helps those other Brahma Viharas from falling into something else. So maybe a little more specifically, loving kindness practice. It's easy to maybe like slide into some attachment, either attachment to, I really want you to have this particular outcome. I want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy. Dang it. You know, there can be a bit of sliding into that. And, or there's this love that's tangled up with clinging and, or some desire that doesn't have some openness to it. So equanimity helps loving kindness to stay balanced. With compassion, the second Brahma Vihara, equanimity helps us because compassion is when loving kindness meets suffering. So a necessary ingredient in the way that this tradition talks about compassion is that there's some difficulties, some suffering. But when there are difficulties, we may want to turn away. The last thing we want to do maybe is engage with it and open our heart to it. Maybe we have some fear that it's going to be overwhelming or that we won't be able to meet the difficulties. So equanimity is a way which helps compassion to arise in the face of difficulties. With equanimity, we see what we can do and what we can't do in the face of suffering so that we can stay balanced and not fall out of balance. And then with sympathetic joy, equanimity helps us to not only have sympathetic joy for those who are the closest to us. Equanimity reminds us that it's the nature of life to have times when there are some ups and when there are some downs. This is part of kind of equanimity is seen clearly, helps us to balance that we can have a sympathetic joy for everybody. We don't have to begrudge anybody some of their happiness or some of their well-being. because we recognize that nobody has this happiness forever, and nobody has unhappiness forever, including ourselves. So just like loving kindness, sympathetic joy, compassion, we can practice equanimity with using phrases. And sometimes I will slip these phrases into the end when we've been doing loving kindness practice. But today I'm going to start with just a little bit of loving kindness, kind of to prime the pump, so to speak, and kind of like open and warm our hearts maybe. And then I'll offer a few phrases and see which ones resonate for you. It's common for our equanimity practice to just listen to a phrase. But it also can be common to maybe find one or maybe two that you like and alternate them. So I'll offer a few. And just choose one that resonates with you and see how it goes. Okay, so with that as an introduction, I'll do some practice here. So taking an alert posture that shows or demonstrates our intention to meditate and our certain amount of energy. So not so much, of course, that we're restless, but a little bit of energy that helps with some alertness. Taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Allowing the body to relax with the exhale. A certain amount of letting go with the exhale. Tuning in to the bodily experience at this moment. How does it feel to be embodied now? Maybe doing a little bit of a body scan. Checking in with the head and the face. And the neck. Shoulders. Upper back, lower back, chest, belly, just Just bringing our attention to these areas. Nothing to do necessarily. We're just resting our awareness in these different areas. And it might be that there's some softening, some ease that gets introduced with this. Feeling the sensations of the chair or cushion against the body. The upper legs. The lower legs. The feet. The arms. And the hands. Now we can rest the attention on the sensations of breathing, feeling the movement of the chest or belly. And then the air going in and out of the nose, whichever is most accessible, most supportive for you. When the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again. And to start with our Brahma-Vihara practice, start with some loving kindness where it's easy. Just to tune into some warm-heartedness. Tune into some openness or spaciousness that we might be experiencing. Especially when we bring to mind a lovable being. Someone for whom it's easy for us to feel warmth, care, goodwill, kindness, love, respect. Can we connect with this being? Whether it's somebody that's in our life, or somebody that has touched us, but that we don't have a relationship with them necessarily, a teacher or author perhaps. Or maybe an imaginary, kittens, puppies, babies. and to support this connection with warm-heartedness, we can say metta phrases. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to bring this warm-heartedness to our equanimity practice. For this practice, we'll start the way that I often do for equanimity practice. Bring to mind somebody you care about, but sometimes perhaps is a little bit bothersome or irksome. Not the most difficult person. And we can bring them to mind and say this phrase: I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. Here's another phrase. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from suffering. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from suffering. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from suffering. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from suffering. Here's another phrase. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. And here's another phrase. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. no matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I care about you, and I cannot keep you from suffering. Your happiness and unhappiness depend upon your actions, not upon my wishes for you. No matter how I might wish things to be otherwise, things are as they are. So this idea of equanimity, and there's different ways in which we can emphasize. Part of it is just seeing kind of things clearly, seeing from this perspective of, you know, things are as they are, and things I can change and things I can't change. And people are responsible. They make their own decisions. They do their own actions. And so just to be kind of reminded of this, otherwise where there might be some leaning into or a little bit of being off balance with these Brahma-Viharas, with these heart practices. So it might have been, of those four phrases, there might have been one or more that resonated with you, or maybe there was one or more that just really didn't resonate with you. It's perfectly fine. It's just different, emphasizing different aspects of this, but it can be helpful to talk with others and to share ideas, or maybe so if there's some experiences or some variations of phrases that are helpful. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms where you have an opportunity to talk about how that experience was for you in terms of just having those different phrases. So rather than going from different people, you know, how we often do, but instead just kind of stayed, whether perhaps you changed individuals on your own, individual, you know, who you were directing the equanimity to, or maybe you stayed with the same and then just was changing the phrases. But in these small groups, it's helpful just to say one thing and then let it go to the next person. And then they say one thing and then it goes to the next person and then it comes back around. So in this way, there's a spiral and there can be a building up and a learning from each other, as opposed to just a collection of long monologues or something like this. So we'll be in groups of three or four and we'll meet for maybe 13 minutes. And here we go. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? Yes, Mari, Christine.
The equanimity is the hardest for me, or the Brahma-Vihara is the most difficult one, because I kind of struggle with that whole thing. So, you know, I wish you well, but your happiness and unhappiness is obviously your responsibility, not mine. But how does that fit in with the whole thing of interdependency and the community and the Sangha? We can't walk around and go, well, up to you if you want to suffer or not. Well, maybe I have. I have to take responsibility that I have done something that's impacted you in such a way that it has caused suffering.
Yeah. So the way that I understand it is that equanimity as part of the Brahma-Viharas is to help kind of like balance two things, balance the other Brahma-Viharas, as I spoke about, as well as you know, Mari, Christine, the Brahma-Viharas become boundless, right, so that they're for all beings. And so we need to have equanimity, otherwise there's going to be some beings we don't really want to have loving kindness or compassion for. So those are the two ways and shows up with the Brahma-Viharas. But this, it's an interesting, I think you're pointing to something that's so interesting or critical about what's the difference between aloofness or disengagement and being engaged, but staying imbalanced or staying, present and not being pushed around by what others are doing necessarily. Doesn't mean that we're not touched by it. Doesn't mean that we don't experience it, but we're not ourselves kind of getting a little bit off balance or activated or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this is such a key thing, and this is not easy. So often we think of equanimity as kind of being this stepping back and disengaged, but how to stay there with an open and warm heart and not getting off balance And then maybe one last thing that I'll say. In my view, there's a reason why equanimity is the last of the Brahman Viharas, last of the seven factors of awakening, last of the paramis and all these lists, because it is difficult to cultivate. It to find that fine line that you're pointing to, Marie Christine, it takes a lot of practice.
Mm.
Is this helpful?
Yeah, it's such a complex, conversation, isn't it? As you say, very nuanced. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Marie Christine. Bob.
Unmuted.
Yes.
Hey, for some reason, while we were discussing things, the idea of diversity came up for me. And how it came up or what the context is, I claim to be all for diversity, but I realize that when things get too diverse, I'm very uncomfortable. I just, too much diversity. I don't know. Could there be such a thing? But, I react to it like, oh no, it's too diverse now. So let's get back to something that's within bounds. And I think that has something to do with meta practice.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it's human nature that we appreciate or like things that are familiar and expect, but also all of us kind of appreciate how differences can be exciting and, the input for creativity and learning new things, all this kind of thing. So equanimity practice, so much of it is about not getting off balance, whatever situation we find ourselves in, including, you didn't give any specifics and nor will I, but just this too diverse, like maybe too unfamiliar is maybe one way we could say, or too people coming from different directions and this feeling like, oh no, we're never going to find a common ground. Oh no, we're never going to find a place to land. And so equanimity practice is a way in which even in these situations, whatever situations we find ourselves in, that we can stay in balance and that we can see the humanity of everybody, I'm trying to think of a word that includes, diverse in terms of people, but also diverse in terms of views and diverse in terms of situations. So equanimity practice is definitely a way to help us not get off balance. And then you mentioned loving kindness. Yeah, I would say all of these Brahma Viharas, all of these heart practices, and it is a practice, right, to have our heart open no matter what it encounters, no matter what it encounters. Thank you, Bob. Okay, so here we are. We're a few minutes after the hour, but appreciation for all of you and for our practice together. And I wish for you to find some balance and some evenness and some happiness and health and safety and ease. So if you'd like, you can unmute yourself and we'll say goodbye.
Bye bye, Mina.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Bye,
Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Beautiful phrases.
I like the pool there.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Bye, Trudy.